Inside the Coach's Headset, presented by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079. 528-7079. The X's and O's of coaching from the Upper Cumberland's best as we go inside the Coach's Headset.
Hello, everybody. This is your host, Amos Rogan, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Coach's Headset right here on UCSportsNation.com. The podcast is brought to you by Tony Smith, your shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 931-520-7079 or go see him at his office at 425 East Broad Street right here in Cookeville. Thank you all so much for joining our podcast and listening to them. Hopefully you're enjoying them. And if you are, please share these podcasts with everyone. We want to try to get as much exposure as we possibly can to our great Upper Cumberland coaches in all of our high schools. And speaking of, we are welcoming one of the great coaches that we have right here in the Upper Cumberland, the head coach of the Stone Memorial Panther basketball team, Coach Neil Capps. Coach, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, Amos. Glad to be here.
Coach, I've always looked at Stone Memorial as somewhat of a unique scenario because the school itself is probably the newest high school in the Upper Cumberland area as far as just historically. The school hadn't been around very, very long. Tell us a little bit about how you got to get into coaching and how Stone Memorial has really been able to invest in their athletic program and especially their basketball program and really flourish from there.
Well, that's a good question. I actually started at our crosstown rival now before Stone Memorial was ever built. I am a CCHS or Cumberland County High School graduate of class of 93, and I started teaching and coaching over there in 2000-2001 school year under Mike Buck, his first year there, and I was his assistant for seven years over there. And then when the school split back in 2006, I stayed one more year over there and then finally came over to Stone after that. So I've been at Stone for the last this is the 14th year of the school, and this is my 13th year here. Head coaching-wise here, I'm going into my eighth season as the head coach at Stone Memorial. And we've had a really strong tradition here in boys and girls basketball, to be honest with you. But when we opened up, we were double A, and we were, you know, at that's about where we, you know, if you look at our numbers, our enrollment is around 1,020. So double A, that would put us at a very big double A. And we really, that's a good spot for us because we're able to compete at that level really good. And a couple years after that, we had a really, really strong group of young men to come in that had been playing basketball for a long time. And, you know, with Brandon Cole, Brock Rowan, Robert Truino, we had guys older than them like Zach Sherrill and Mason Fox. We had a bunch of strong, strong character guys that were really solid basketball players, and that really helped push us over the edge to have a lot of success. And then we get a couple of more classes. When you get the Luke Matthews and the Justin Simmons and Tyler Yoders, we're talking about almost every one of those kids went on to play college basketball. You can really build a strong program when you got that caliber of player. And we were able to have a lot of success, made it to the state tournament back in 2011, 2012. And from there, you know, we continued to have a lot of success. But just like any country school, which we are, we have our ebb and flow. We had some down years. And over the past couple, we have worked our way to back to some pretty good success, which, you know, we're obviously very proud of. But it does boil down to having really good players, really strong character individuals who are willing to come in and play hard. And that's, and anybody will tell you, that a coach is only as good as his players, and that's what we've been blessed with here at Stone Memorial, is just really solid players.
And tell us a little bit about some of the influences that you've been able to pick up on, some of the coaches that you've maybe played for or at least been able to bend their ear on philosophy. I've seen your teams play for quite a few years now. I guess probably the greatest collection of pure shooters that I've seen in a long time is probably on a team the last 2 years that you've had. Tell us a little bit about how you're able to input some of your philosophy that you've been able to learn from some influences into the talent that you know that you have on your team.
Well, I guess the firsthand influences that you have, obviously my high school coach, Mark Bray, played, you know, that's in kind of, yes, that is Coach Kevin Bray's from Cookeville. His brother, he coached at CCHS when I was there. And Coach Bray was a really strong, you know, toughness, instilled that toughness in you, competing, hard-nosed basketball, which when you're not athletic or you're just a bunch of small kids like we were, we didn't have a lot of tall heights and athleticism. We had to be tough, and Coach Bray did a really good job at that. And I took a lot of that from him in trying to instill that into our guys and competing. Probably at the next level, I was able to play for Randy Nesbitt at Rome State Community College. I was there for a couple of years, and Coach Nesbitt really, really opened up the game to me, you know, in terms of, you know, the movement, motion, strategy. You know, just really how to coach the game analytically and looking at it from different perspective, not just, you know, it's not just about playing hard or doing this. It's about skill development and having, I guess you can say, having more tools in the old tool belt when you're out there on the floor. And, I really learned a lot of that off Coach Nesbitt. And, I'm indebted to those guys like that have afforded me that opportunity to play basketball and really helped me. And poured into me as an aspiring coach at the time. I mean, I knew I wanted to be a coach when I was a sophomore in high school, and be able to get around guys like that it really helped. And then moving on in and being an assistant for Mike Buck, who, you know, had coached on two state championship teams, one at Pickett County and then assisted for the 99 team at White County. You know, he really helped me. You know, I fell into a great situation there with a guy had a lot of knowledge and a lot of different levels as a player, as a coach himself, and he was able to really help me as well. And, you know, other influences as well, as a guy that a lot of people don't know that we were just blessed to, he just fell into our lap here at Stone Memorial. He was a retired professional coach in Europe. You know, he coached at Real Madrid in Europe, played over there, and his name's Randy Knowles, and his parents retired to Fairfield Glade, and when he basically retired out of coaching, he wanted to get back to his parents, who were in their 80s, now in their 90s, and he wanted to get closer to them, so he moved back here, started teaching here at Stone, and really became a tremendous mentor to me and an ear that I could go talk to, and somebody that could, you know, help me with things. And he actually said, you know, and I've asked him questions, and he said, let me go look at that. And then he'd bring me something back. And I promise you, Amos, I still have these plays or these calls or these defenses in my playbook several years later from stuff that he's given me. So just having guys like that to really influence you and pour into you, it really helps to build you who you are and kind of as a coach. So I'm really indebted to these men, but, in referencing having just quality shooters now, the last couple of years, Stone has been blessed over the last several years with some really quality players. You know, probably one of the purest shooters we've ever had in our program was a young man named Brock Rowan. And, he graduated 2013, and Brock is shooting success is predicated on reps. The old saying that I heard many years ago that quality time is always found in quantity time. Brock spent a lot of hours in the gym, and you know, you can try to say that I'm going to go in the gym and I'm going to work really hard for 10 minutes and get a bunch of shots up. Well, you may do that, but you know, to really dial in and get perfected, you got to put in a lot of time. You got to put in the quantity time. And that's the one thing that Brock Rowan would really do is he put in the hours. He put in the hours and put in the hours and the reps before school, after school, before school, after school. Just a tremendous shooter. And now, and several more as well, people like Tyler Yoder, just in the gym all the time. You know, successful people leave crumbs. Those guys were always in the gym. They were always working before and after school, before and after practice. And to the kids we have today that just graduated, you know, like Justin Hedrick, 6'7" kid. He's currently playing at Trevecca Nazarene in Nashville. He played his first college game the other day, you know, and is still shooting the ball well. Knocked down two big threes his first game there. It's just, and you got another kid that was a tremendous scorer for us, Brett Newcomb, over the last couple years. Just puts in time. You know, there's several names there of kids, and all of it boils down to the hours of just sacrificial time of shooting and working on your game and working on your craft. And at the end of the day, you know, I know as a coach we get to claim a lot of those wins, but you know, we're only successful because the finding players and having players that are willing to sacrifice time and be driven and motivated to the grind of basketball, because it is a grind. It's not easy to get to put that much effort and time in all constantly day after day. But to have kids like that are willing to do that, and you know, they make you look like a way better coach than what you really are when you find a crop of kids that are willing to sacrifice their personal time to get better at basketball. So we here at Stone Memorial have been very fortunate to have really hardworking kids over the past couple of years. So that's what I contribute that to. So just a lot of hard work.
And you've said and indicated, you know, the basketball season as a whole is a grind. I recently interviewed Coach Eric Mitchell from White County, and we talked a little bit about the peaks and valleys of the season, and you know that eventually your team is going to peak, and you're kind of hoping that it peaks around tournament time because that's where things really matter. And but as a coach and doing it as long as you have, even though you may have kids who, as you said, you've got leaders in the locker room who are out there shooting, doing things on their own personal time and doing things without being asked to do them, which is huge in this day and age of kids and the way of the world that it is. You know that eventually your team is going to have to go through a rough patch. You know, you know that your team is going to have to take a loss. And how do you, knowing that that's coming, you know, the goal is perfection, but that's a very tough goal to achieve. How do you cope with some of those things to make sure that, yes, let's learn from what our mistakes were, but let's don't wallow in them because we got another game on Friday night?
That's so true. Here's the thing. You can ask any coach, any player from Bristol to Memphis, from Maine to California. Every team, every player wants to win every game. Okay, everybody wants the perfect season. You have to be wise enough to tell your kids early, there's a chance we don't win every game. Okay, and going back to that, it is preparing them early, preparing them now. I've been talking to my kids since August. You know, it's not if conflict or struggle come, it's when. It's not if. You know, I one of the things I tell them, we started the season with a very tough schedule. You know, we start out with Maryville High School right off the bat, who's got a D1 point guard going to Furman, and, you know, with Joe Anderson. And then we play Pickett County. Everybody knows Pickett County, tradition-rich basketball up there. Mm-hmm. And then we play East Hamilton back-to-back, followed by a huge York team with Coach Taze up there in Jamestown. So there's our first five games. We could be 0-5, you know, and I'd say we could be 1-4, 0-5. I said, now, yes, we could be 5-0, 4-1, you know, 3-2. But guys, that's a strong schedule. That's a very, very difficult, imposing schedule. We could be 1-4. What are we going to do? Are we going to fragment? Are we going to splinter? Are we going to start finger pointing? Work on that now. Don't wait until it's there. You know, one of the things I've been fortunate enough to learn, you know, I heard many years ago as a young man, is be proactive, not reactive. I'm not gonna hope that we're, you know, not 1-4 and then say, man, what do we do now? I want my kids to be prepared for it. I don't really have to prepare a kid if we're 4-1, 5-0. What are you know, everybody's gonna be happy. Okay. Winning cures a lot of things. But I'm gonna prepare our kids for the possibility of a 1-4 start. You know, what are we gonna do if? What are we gonna do if? And I know that struggle is coming. I tell my kids, you know, I break it down. What are we gonna do? I say, how are we gonna handle the fact if we're, you know, under 500 at Christmas? Even still, what if we're, you know, how are we going to handle it for 2 minutes to go in the game? We're down 11. Are we done? You know, so you deal with conflict like you deal with a press break. You deal with conflict and future conflict and future struggle like you deal with shooting drills. You're working on them now. You don't wait for them to get here. You work on those before it ever comes. You work on that mentality now, and that becomes a part of your culture. That it's established that we're, you know, you know, we know that we're going to have a rough season, and I try not to use a lot of cliches, but it's almost virtually impossible when talking sports. But it truly is. It is a grind, and it's a marathon. It's never a sprint. So you're going over a 5 month period. You're going to have struggle. You know, even undefeated teams are going to have struggle of some kind. You know, a kid's not happy with his playing time. You know, you have an unexpected injury. We were rolling along last year just fine, and then all of a sudden, one of my better guards, better shooting guards, he was shooting 54% from three through four games. I mean, he is absolutely shooting the lights out. We go to Knox Webb. We're playing really well. Knox Webb, if anybody knows, went on to win the state championship last year. We were playing really well at their place. At the end of the first quarter, kid dives for a ball. He gets his toe stuck underneath him, lands on it, and he rolls over on his back. He's got a dislocated and broken ankle. One of my better shooters is out for the year. Wow. How do you handle that conflict? You know, how do you handle that struggle of possible big-time injuries going to come your way? So it really makes it, you know, you prepare kids in practice for that. And, you know, you tell them, hey, we're one injury away from you being in the lineup. We're one injury away from you being in our rotation. So you need to prepare that way now. We're not going to wait and hope you don't have to go in. We're going to, every rep and every drill, you need to be focused. You need to be ready to go as if you are the starter, as if you are the first guy off the bench, not if it happens, you know. So we really try to prepare kids beforehand, you know, but it has served us well in that, you know, because, you know, after that we did wind up losing that game, but we were able to roll off about 5-6 wins in a row after that, you know, even so, because of just maturity and hopefully preparing kids the right way, that it could happen at any time. So it's a great question. That conflict and struggle are always something you better be prepared for early.
We're speaking with and listening to the head coach of Stone Memorial Basketball, Coach Neil Capps, right here on Inside the Coach's Headset. Our podcast is brought to you by Tony Smith, your shelter insurance agent, and you are listening to this podcast on ucsportsnation.com. Coach Capps, as I said before, I've seen your team play. I've seen how you act out there on the bench. You are not a Bobby Knight type of coach on the sidelines. You have a quiet confidence about you. You're not a yeller, I guess is probably the best way to put it as far as that goes. In creating that culture within your team and knowing your players, I think, as another coach told me one time, your coaches or your players emulate your coach's actions, especially during a game. And a lot of times, the more volatile, I guess it's probably the best way of putting it, type of characters or attitudes on the sideline, often the players will act out a little bit more on the floor. Tell me how you kind of keep yourself in check. You know, officials, God bless them. And full disclosure, I'm a TSSAA softball official, so I understand some of the things that these guys go through. They're not perfect. They're not going to get every call right and everything. How do you keep yourself cool for the most part? You know, we all get excited because we're all competitive, but how do you try to keep yourself cool through a game so that your players cannot get too high or too low?
Well, if you talk to some of the players I coached in my earlier years, they wouldn't agree with that assessment. And now, but this is, you know, like I said, about 15 years ago, I tell you, and there's no other way to explain this, but this is, this was my experience, and this is, I know to be true. I had a heart change, about 15 years ago, in 2000, you know, almost 15 years ago, in 2005, I gave my heart to the Lord, and it changed me as a coach. First of all, it changed me as a husband, changed me as a dad, changed me as a coach, and it's amazing. It's amazing what Jesus Christ in your heart will do for you. I promise you, I'm still not perfect. I still get after my kids sometimes, you know, and going back to those referees, let me tell you something. In our association, working here in the Upper Cumberland, we got some quality human beings that referee basketball. They're not perfect, but I tell you what, I've had many refs come up to me and say, Coach, I think I missed that. And I'm like, you don't need to apologize to me. Let me tell you something. I've missed many. I've called many plays over here tonight that we didn't execute well. I said, I make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But we got some really good people that referee basketball around here, let me tell you. And they aren't perfect, and they do sacrifice a lot of time, and they're good people. You know, and sometimes we forget that as coaches and people and fans, and I wish we wouldn't, because these people are – they're sacrificing their time with their families. They're driving long distances to help us push this game we love forward. And they need a lot more appreciation than they do the people that are – so many times they get that critique and people are critical. And I've had disagreements with referees, and I have went back and talked to them later and apologized to them, because after you get away from it, you say, listen, I was out of line, and I apologize for that. And these people, they're not beholding to grudges, and they're a bunch of quality individuals. But there's no secret for me that's what changed. That's what changed me as a coach is coming to know the Lord. And you know, I got Neil out of the way and let him lead my life. And like I said, you know, Jesus, you know, we're not perfect when that happens. I promise you that we're not perfect. We still make mistakes. I still make mistakes every single day. I challenge my kids, and I share with people, there is a lot of coaching guilt when you challenge a kid sometimes and you leave the gym, you feel you might've got after that young man a little bit too hard. But the thing that somebody shared with me years ago, and this is what it all boils down to, is if that kid knows you love him or she knows you love her, they can handle you getting after them sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I make it a point on a daily basis to let my kids know I love them. I make it to let them know I appreciate what they do. You know, a lot of people, we take that for granted sometimes as coaches that they owe, the kids owe us something. You know, these kids bring us, you know, whether we want to say it or not, I get a lot of pats on the back, says, good job, coach. Man, great job, coach. And let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the kids, none of this would be possible. The effort they put in, the willingness to run through a wall for you, dive on the floor. We literally set them up to do diving on the floor drills. How many people do you know that you'll ask them, here, do this drill, and they'll go to go jump on a hardwood floor for you. Or, you know, or they'll put themselves play injured sometimes, you know, maybe with a tweaked ankle, they're going to throw themselves out there. Or when they come to you, say, "Coach, can you wrap my wrist? My wrist's been hurt." You know, but they go out there and practice for you because they're good teammates. And sometimes we forget to appreciate our kids. I knew, you know, and I tell you that's the crux of it. You know, just remembering that they're human beings and they care enough about you, but they better know that you care about them. And that's what changed my coach. And that's why I try not to be a huge screamer, but now in defense of those out there, and I'm not perfect, but in defense of those that do have to raise their voice some, I share this with my players' parents all the time. I say, now you got to understand, there may be times I've got 1,000 people in the gym. It's a tense moment and I have to scream 60, 70 feet across all that ambient noise that, mm-hmm. you know, in the gym and all that. I may have to raise my voice to your young man, and I won't have a minute and a half to talk to him. I'll have 10 seconds. So if I scream bots out really loud and I have a kind of a scowl on my face, I says, don't take that as me being angry or upset. It may be, you know, if I've got a scowl, that lets you know, wow, that's pretty important. And if I say aloud, man, that's really important. Because we've worked on boxing out. The young man knows what he should be doing. I'm just reminding him and just telling him how important we need it now. And that's all the time I have to get it to him. And it kind of makes more sense when you tell a kid, don't listen to what I'm saying, not how I'm saying it. And you're right. If I want my kids to show composure and being composed in pressure moments, I guess I better be composed. I better show them what a cool head looks like, because I can't expect them to go out there and be cool-headed and composed if I'm not. So that's what it was. That's the way, for no question. That's the heart change that I had, and it changed me as a coach. And you know, and I'm still working, trying to be clay every day. You know, trying to be malleable, flexible, moldable, trying to get better, not being rigid, because I take critiques from my kids. We do a leadership academy, a 10-week leadership academy with my guys one day a week leading up to the season. And one of the last questions in chapter 10, the last chapter was, what would you tell your coach how he can be a better coach? And I said, I don't want any sugarcoating. I want you guys to be honest with me. And they were. And so, you know, just trying to be clay, trying to be malleable and moldable. That's Neil Couts. That's me.
Well, Coach, I love the way that your teams play. I've got a ton of respect for you because I've watched you from afar for quite a few years, and Stone Memorial has always been a team that you always have to deal with because great shooters, great effort. And it's always coming. I think it always comes from you, from the culture that you're setting forth for your team. So I want to thank you so much for joining us today. You have been listening to Inside the Coach's Headset right here on UCSportsNation.com, sponsored by Tony Smith, your shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 931-528-7079 or go see him at his office at 425 East Broad Street right here in Cookeville. So, Coach, again, thank you so much. Good luck on the upcoming season. I will definitely be there when you guys are playing. Hope to talk to you soon.
Okay, Amos, thank you guys. Thank you for what you do, and thank you for highlighting Stone Memorial High School basketball. We greatly appreciate that recognition, and the people at UC Sports Nation greatly appreciate what the guys that you, the things that you do, and the platform that you're setting for Upper Cumberland basketball and Upper Cumberland sports in general. And I just want to say thanks and God bless.
God bless you, sir. Thank you. Have a good day.
Inside the Coach's Headset, presented by Tony Smith, your hometown shelter insurance agent. Call Tony at 528-7079. 528-7079. The X's and O's of coaching from the Upper Cumberland's best as we go inside the coach's headset.